بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، حقيقة عندما نتكلم عن حال المسلمين في العالم الآن لابد أن نتكلم بصراحة وبوضوح وبشيء من الحكمة. لا يصلح أن تتكلم كلاما حماسيا خطابيا تستهلك به حماس الناس والسلام. سهل جدا أني أثير حماسكم ولا بد من الصمود، ولا سهل هذا، ويمكن أن أبكيكم ويمكن أن تصحون الله أكبر ولا الحمد وهكذا أشياء، كل هذا لا ينفع. نحن نريد أن نكون واقعيين، نعيش أن نعيش واقعنا، والذي يفر من واقعه أنا أعتبره إنسانا جبانا. الذي يفر من الواقع ويعيش في خيال، يعيش في وهم، كهؤلاء الذين يفكرون الآن فيما يسمونه الخلافة الإسلامية، الجهاد الإسلامي. معلوم أن المسلمين الآن في حال ضعف. أي جهاد نتكلم عنه ونحن ضعاف؟ نحن في ذيل القائمة، نحن في ذيل قائمة الأمم، متخلفون في كل المجالات. في التقنية الحديثة نحن متخلفون جهلة، نحن عالى على الغرب. في السلاح نحن عالى على الغرب. في العلم نحن عالى على الغرب. نحن عالى على الغرب في كل شيء. السيارات التي نركبها كلها مصنوعة في الغرب، الطائرات التي نركبها إذن لابد أن نتكلم عن هذا الواقع الذي ليس له الآن من دافع. لا يصلح أن نضحك على أنفسنا ونخدع أنفسنا ونقول لابد أن نواجه ولابد أن، هذا كلام غير صحيح. ما أشبه حالنا بنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هو سيد الحكماء في صلح الحديبية، في صلح الحديبية. وأنا يمكنني أن أضرب مثالا بثلاثة من الأنبياء. نبدأ بنبي قديم جدا وهو نبي الله يوسف عليه السلام، ثم بنبي من بني إسرائيل وهو نبي الله سليمان عليه السلام، ثم نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خاتم الرسل وسيد الأنبياء وسيد الحكماء الذي آتاه الله الحكمة. يوسف عليه السلام عاش في مصر، ومصر ليست دار إسلام. أهل مصر ليسوا مسلمين، ملك مصر ليس مسلما. عاش يوسف عليه السلام معززا مكرما أمينا حريصا على مصلحة مصر وأهلها وهم ليسوا مسلمين، وتسبب في نجاة مصر وأهلها من المجاعة، وسعى بإخلاص لإنقاذ البلاد من المجاعة وهو مسلم وهم ليسوا مسلمين، بل هو مسؤول في البلد، جزء من الحكومة، يعمل في داخل الحكومة المصرية التي لا تدين بالإسلام لصالح هذه الحكومة ولصالح الشعب المصري وهم ليسوا مسلمين. وأهل مصر أحبوا يوسف عليه السلام، وهو عاش بينهم أمينا صادقا وفيا محترما معززا مكرما، ولم يكن يشعر أنه مضطهد أو أنه غريب، بل هو الذي قال وأتوني بأهلكم أجمعين. هو فعلها من نفسه، هاتوا يا جماعة، هاتوا أبوي وأمي وإخواتي، هاتوهم يعيشوا معي في هذا المكان. إذن بارك الله فيكم، المسلم الذي يعلم أنه ليس صاحب دولة، ليس صاحب قوة، لابد أن يعيش واقعه وأن يكون على هذا الخلق، الوفاء والأمانة والصدق والحرص على مصلحة الجماعة التي أعيش بينها ولو لم تكن مسلمة. أنا أعيش الآن في بريطانيا. بريطانيا بلد لا يدين أهلها أو معظم أهلها أو الحكومة القائمة عليها، النظام الرسمي في البلاد ليس مسلما ولا يدين بالإسلام، وبالتالي نحن نعيش في هذه البلاد ونعلم هذا الواقع. لابد أن نتعامل مع هذا الواقع على هذا الأساس. نحن مواطنون نحمل الجنسية الإنجليزية، خلاص نعمل لصالح هذه البلد. نعم نعمل لصالح هذه البلد، نحن مواطنون فيها، صالحها صالحنا وصالحنا صالحها، أمانها أمان لنا وأماننا أمان لها، خيرها خير لنا وخيرنا خير لها. هذا واقع لابد أن تعيشه، وليس هذا من باب تولي غير المسلمين أبدا. أمور الدنيا لا صلة فيها أو بينها وبين موضوع الموالاة. الموالاة تكون في الدين، يعني تناصرهم في الدين، تنصرهم في الدين على المسلمين في الدين. أما أمور الدنيا أنتم أعلم بأمور دنياكم. أمور الدنيا يعني الأصل فيها الحل، الأصل فيها الإباحة. هذا نبي الله يوسف وهو المثال الأول، كما قلت عاش وفيا وأمينا، لا سعى في إقامة دولة إسلامية في مصر، ولا سعى للإطاحة بهذا الملك في مصر، ولا سعى لأن يغدر بهذا الملك، ولا كون تنظيما سريا لينقلب على الحكومة أبدا. إنسان أمين. والأنبياء لا يغدرون، الأنبياء لا يعرفون الغدر الذي هو إظهار شيء وإخفاء شيء، الأنبياء لا يعرفون هذه الطريقة. الأنبياء لا يغدرون. وهرقل عظيم الروم عرف نبوة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بصفات، ومن أهم هذه الصفات أنه لا يغدر، قال وهكذا الأنبياء أو وكذلك الأنبياء لا يغدرون.
Okay, أخواني. The Sheikh, he went on and he began by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, and then by sending salutations upon our Rasul, our Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And he said, Khwani, in reality, whenever we talk about the condition of the Muslims today, it is necessary for us to be very clear and very concise, and that we also have to talk with wisdom. So when we talk about the Muslims and the condition of the Muslims today, we have to have a saraha, talk with clarity. And we have to talk with wuduh. We have to elucidate the things and make them crystal clear. And we also have to speak with wisdom, with hikmah. The Sheikh said, it is not acceptable and it is not befitting for us to talk, and our talks are motivated by emotions, and it's taken over and judged by emotions. He said, because I believe it's relatively easy for me, a speaker, to come and he starts to talk and he gives some speech that would affect you people emotionally, and he starts saying things that are going to get people agitated and excited. Maybe as a speaker he can make you cry, maybe as a speaker he can make people say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and getting excited. He said this is not the time for that type of discussion when we're talking about the condition of the Muslims today. He said, what we have to do is we have to be a people, a group of people in this issue, when we address these issues, who are living the reality of our condition, the waqi' that we're living in. We have to live in the reality of our waqi'. The Sheikh said it is his opinion that those people who try to escape from the reality of what they're living, in his opinion, they're cowards. What is the person who's trying to escape from the reality of what he's living? Like the people who are talking about al-khilafah, the khilafah, the Islamic State, the Islamic State, and others who are saying jihad, jihad, time for jihad. He said these people are escaping from the reality of their condition, and I perceive them as being cowards. And that is because the reality of the situation is that as Muslims right now, we are weak. We are in a state of weakness. So which jihad are we able and capable of performing? He started to talk about some of the realities that describe the condition of the Muslim Ummah. He said that the Muslims are backwards. They have a lot of backwardsness about them. Backwardsness as it relates to technology, the knowledge and the technology that's available today in the world. Muslims are backwards as it relates to the very weapons that we need. People want to make khilaf and jihad. The knowledge, the Muslims don't have the needed, necessary knowledge. We're backwards in almost everything. The Muslim is following the West in so many things. The very cars that we use and that we rely on are manufactured by the West. The airplanes that we use and that we move from place to place, produced and manufactured by the West. So it is not acceptable for us to laugh at ourselves, to make a joke on ourselves. He said that our condition today, Ikhwani, is very similar to the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah is the Sayyid of the Mursaleen and the Master and the leader of all of the prophets and the messengers. Our condition is similar to his condition, I can say, in the Sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. Our situation is similar to his situation on that day. And I can give some examples as it relates to our condition and things that we can get benefit from using three of the Anbiya, three of the messengers of Al-Islam. One of them is a messenger from a long, long time ago, and he is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The second one is Sulaiman, who was a messenger from Bani Israel. And then the last one is our Nabi and our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was the Sayyid of the Hukama. He was the master and the leader, the imam of those who were given hikmah. Allahu Ta'ala gave him wisdom in the way that he acted and the things that he did. Alayhi musallatu wassalam jami'a. As it relates to Yusuf, and what I want to say about him is that you people should understand, brothers, that Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't live in an Islamic state. He wasn't a king. But despite that fact, he lived and his life was one of honor. He had izzah. He was amin, trustworthy. And he used to work for the betterment of his country, the whole country. And because of him, by Allah's permission, he was the cause behind the whole country being saved from starvation and hunger. And his countrymen, the inhabitants of the country where he came from, they were not even Muslims. He's a Muslim, and he was the one who was the sabab or the reason behind those people, by Allah's permission, being saved from hunger. He had some position of responsibility amongst his people. And as a result of that, and as a result of his character and his justice and his way he was, the people who were not Muslims at that time in his country, because of what he did and how he was, they loved him. They loved him why? They loved him because he was trustworthy, amin. They loved him because he was sadiq, he was truthful. They loved him, and as a result of that, they made him mukarram. They honored him, and his position with them was one of honor. They didn't even see Yusuf as being a weak person when he took this position. He wasn't viewed as being a person with no power, no might, but he had a position of strength. He was the one who had the ability, even though all of these characteristics in terms of those people being non-Muslims, he was the one with his position who had the ability to say to his brothers, also strangers, bring your father, bring your family, bring your fathers to me here. So even though he was a Muslim and they were not a Muslim, he still had power inside of the dola or the country where he lived. And all of that came as a result of Ikhwani because of the akhlaq that Yusuf exemplified. Now we Muslims, we are living here. And we're living in a place where the people are not Muslims. Or most of the people are not Muslims. The government definitely is not a Muslim government. We all know this. This is something that is well known. So based upon this fact, we have to come to learn and know how to make the ta'amul and how to deal with these people and work with these people. And we got to understand that what benefits them benefits us in general. What is security for them and they get safety and security, then that's our safety and that's our security that should not be compromised. And it shouldn't be misunderstood that what I'm saying here, what benefits them benefits us. The good that hits them is the good that hits us. And we should go after trying to secure this for ourselves. It shouldn't be understood that this is from the issue of al-mawalat, you know, al-wala wal-bara, that we are with them and we have wala to them. He said no. He said as it relates to the dunya of the people, the issue of al-wala doesn't enter into the equation at all. It's possible in the translation, Ikhwani, because one of the brothers understood that maybe it was a mistake. Yusuf, even though he was a Muslim and they were non-Muslims and he had a position, he wasn't a Muslim, but he was inside of the government. He had the ability to say to his brothers and their families, he said to the brothers, bring your father, Yusuf's father, bring your father, my father, and your family, bring them. And the point that the Sheikh was trying to make here was, even though he wasn't a non-Muslim, because of his good behavior, he had a position where his orders and commands were executed. So the Sheikh went on to say this very important point. Important point. He says, so when we say that the good that hits them hits us, the security that they enjoy and we enjoy, these types of issues that we mentioned, this has everything to do with the dunya, and it has nothing to do with aqidah. It has nothing to do with our wala. He went on to say, Akhwani, the proof of that is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his companions were doing their farming. He said, you people know more about your dunya, this dunya, than I do. So, Akhwani, Yusuf, in this condition, he wasn't the one who was responsible for anything as it relates to, he wasn't the leader of the whole country, he didn't have any tambim, he wasn't trying to overthrow the government, he wasn't trying to overthrow the people, and he was a Nabi. And the Nabi were a group of people, alayhim as-salatu as-salam, who didn't have any ghadr. And the ghadr, ikhwani, as we mentioned, it is, you make the contract and you break the contract. He said that the ghadr is when a person says something, but then he does something else. He makes you a think, and he makes it appear one way. He shows you and manifests one thing, but in the inside, he's thinking something else, and he does something else. And the Anbiya were not like this. Not Yusuf, and not other than Yusuf. And this is why we find in the story of Hiraqal with Rasuli, with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asking Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu about the characteristics of Rasulullah, he said, does he have this ghadr? Does he say one thing and break the contract and do something else? They say, Abu Sufyan said, no, he doesn't do that. Hiraqal said, and this is the way the Anbiya are. They don't have this ghadr. Betrayal.
الموقف الثاني نبي الله سليمان عليه السلام ملك بل كما قلت في زيارة سابقة في محاضرة بعنوان ملك سليمان قلت هذا الملك لم يؤته أحد بعده ولن يأتي ملك بعد سليمان يكون له ملك ملك سليمان أبدا ولا الذي نحن فيه الآن قلت مرارا أنت في الإنترنت تكلم صديقك في الهند صديقك في أمريكا لا سليمان كان عنده جنود يمكن أن يأتي بالشيء من أمريكا في لحظة في طرفة عين يأتي به ليس في شاشة كمبيوتر هو نفسه يأتي لحم وشحم ودم كله يأتي ليس في شاشة ليس صورة هو ينتقل في طرفة عين قبل أن يرتد إليه الطرف لا يرى صورته لا يأتي هذا الشيء الذي يريد يأتي به من اليمن من اليمن إلى الشام قرابة 3000 كيلو متر من اليمن إلى الشام قرابة 3000 كيلو متر تقطعها الطائرة في 3 ساعات انتقل عرش ملكة سبأ من اليمن إلى الشام قبل أن يرتد إلى سليمان عليه السلام طرفه لم يرى صورة العرش في الكمبيوتر لا العرش انتقل ملك سليمان لم يؤته أحد قبله لم يؤته أحد بعده قال رب هب لي ملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعد هذا الملك الملك يا إخوان الملك له ضريبته وله يعني أحكامه ولا لا ملك هل الملك يستطيع أن يتحكم في سياسة العالم كلها يستطيع لا يستطيع يوجد ملوك آخرون ويوجد ملكات أيضا طيب نبي الله سليمان ممكن ببساطة لو هو أحمق ليس أحمق عليه السلام هو من الحكماء الأنبياء أحكم الناس لو كان يتصرف بحماقة كحماقتنا نحن في هذا الزمان لقال أنا لا أعترف بهذه الملكة وكيف أتعامل مع امرأة ولماذا تأتي المرأة عندنا لا نريد هذه المرأة ولا أريد أن أراها لا 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 هذه ملكة ملكة استقبلها ورحب بها ودخلت وتعامل معها رجل يتعامل مع امرأة أحد يقول الاختلاط حرام طبعا نحن نعرف الاختلاط حرام، لكن هذا هذه ملكة الآن، نحن ليس بأيدينا أن نختارها أو لا نختارها، هي ملكة فعلا. يعني عندما حصل في السنين التي مضت 10 سنوات 50 أو 20 سنة ماضية، تعامل بعض حكام العرب مع بعض النساء من الغرب، ملكات أو رؤساء ووزارات. كان هنا في بريطانيا رئيسة وزارة، فكان الحكام العرب ورؤساء الوزراء يتعاملون معها. بعض الحمقى كيف وهذا لا يجوز، نبي الله سليمان تعامل مع بلقيس ولا لا؟
نعم.
ودخلها عنده وكشفت عن ساقيها أمامه ولا لا؟ ها ما الجواب؟ كشفت. والنبي الله سليمان رأى ساقيها ولا ما رأى؟ أحد يقول لا ما رأى. كيف ما رأى والقرآن يسطر أنها كشفت عن ساقيها، وأنه قال إنه صرح ممرد من قوارير، رأى كل هذا. إذن التعامل في عالم السياسة مع الغير، مع الآخر، كما يقولون الآن كلمة الآخر انتشرت في هذه الأيام، التعامل مع الآخر، مع الآخر، مع الآخر ليس بيدك أن تحكمه، أنت لا تستطيع أن تلزم الآخر بما تدين به، ولا بد أن تتعامل مع هذا الآخر لأنه موجود ويمثل بلدا ويمثل سلطة، شئت أنت أم أبيت. لا تستطيع أن تقول أنا لا أعترف بهذا، كيف لا تعترف؟ موجود، هذه بلد موجودة ولها كيان وجيش وسلاح وحكومة وشعب، كيف تنكر هذا؟ لابد أن تتعامل مع هذا الكيان، ولابد أن تتعامل معه وفق التقاليد والأحكام المعروفة في هذا الزمان الذي تعيشه. لا تستطيع أن تعيش وحدك. أنا أقول إخواننا الآن الذين يريدون أن يعيشوا في خيال ووهم، انظروا، حتى الهجرة ما تنفع. تهاجر إلى أي مكان؟ أين تهاجر بالله عليك؟ أين تهاجر؟ الذي يريد أن يعيش بهذه الطريقة المغلقة عليه أن يصعد إلى رأس جبل من الجبال، أن يعيش في كهف من الكهوف، لا يتعب نفسه ولا يتعب الناس معه، لا يتعب نفسه ولا يتعب الناس معه، هكذا خلاص يريح ويستريح، لكن يبقى يقول هذا لا يجوز، هذا غلط، انظر هذا الحاكم لبس مش عارف ايه، هذا قابل رئيسة وزراء بريطانيا، وهذا جلس مع ملكة الدنمارك، وذاك الآخر ما أدري. سبحان الله، هذا عالم السياسة لابد منه، لولا السياسة ما عشت أنت. سبحان الله، نحن أحيانا نتكلم عن أمور ونحن نعيش فيها. يعني مثال بسيط، لولا يعني الجيش البريطاني والشرطة البريطانية نستطيع أن نعقد هذا الملتقى الذي نحن فيه؟ ما رأيكم؟ يمكن؟ يمكن أن نعقد هذا المؤتمر في العراق مثلا؟ ما رأيكم؟ يمكن؟ لا نستطيع في بلد مسلمة العراق؟ لا يوجد أمن. إذا لا نستطيع أن نعقد هذا الملتقى في العراق لأنه لا أمان. العراقي الآن يقتل بالهوية، اسمه عمر يقابل لجنة شيعية تقتله، الآخر اسمه علي يقابل لجنة سنية تقطع رأسه. القتل أصبح بليه، فأصبح الناس يغيرون أسماءهم، يحمل بطاقتين، إذا جاء على لجنة شيعية يتقدم باسم علي، إذا جاء على لجنة سنية يتقدم باسم عمر. هذا عنده حويتين، واحد بيسمع عمر واحد بيسمع، ما هم كيف يفعل؟ هؤلاء سيقتلونه وهؤلاء سيقتلونه. هذا يذكرني بطرفة قديما، طرفة قالوا اثنين سكارى، طبعا الآن في الكريسماس هذا في سكر كثير، اثنين سكارى شربوا خمر حتى يعني خلاص، فمر بهم رجل عاقل في واضح النهار الظهر يعني، فقالوا له يا تعالى احكم بيننا، نحن اختلفنا، هذا الشمس ام القمر؟ انا اقول الشمس وصاحب يقول القمر. طبعا لو قال الشمس ضربه هذا، ولو قال القمر ضربه الاخر، ماذا يفعل؟ قال والله انا لست من هذا المكان، لا ادري، حتى يخرج لا يضربه احد، ويعرف انها الشمس طبعا، لكن لو قال الشمس ضربه صاحب القمر، ولو قال القمر ضربه هو، قال أنا لست من هذا المكان لا أدري، اسألوا أحدا غيري. فهذا أصبح في العراق بلد مسلمة لا أمان، بارك الله، أنتم تعيشون في بلاد ليست مسلمة ولكنها آمنة، وهذا الأمن هو خير لكم وخير لنا، استطعنا أن ننتقل من بلادنا وأن ندخل بأمان وبهدوء وبسكينة وطمأنينة، وجئت والتقينا وأنا الآن أتكلم معكم. إذن هذا الجيش البريطاني الذي لا يدين بالإسلام هو لصالحكم، وهذه الشرطة البريطانية وإن كانت لا تدين بالإسلام لصالحكم. إذن بارك الله فيكم، نبي الله سليمان تعامل مع الواقع وقابل ملكة وتحدث معها باعتبارها ممثلة لشعبه، لم يتحدث معها باعتبارها فرد. لا لا، ألا تعلوا علي وأتوني مسلمين. وإسلامها كان خيرا لها وكان خيرا لقومها من ورائها. بارك الله في هذا الموقف الثاني.
So, إخواني, the second Nabi, the second Rasul from those people who the Sheikh wants to give us some examples from is the issue of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. He said that the kingdom and the authority and the position of authority that people have, it has its price, it has its rules and regulations. He said, is it possible, for an example, for a person who's in charge of a country, can he control and rule the whole world? Does he rule and control everything? The Sheikh said, no. He's in charge, like Suleiman was in charge of a particular place. Other kings are present, other leaders are present. So at any given time, that one person is not controlling everything, so that whatever he says is what goes. Suleiman alayhi salam, he wasn't foolish, he wasn't ahmaq, he wasn't dumb, he wasn't foolish. If he was foolish, then we would have seen him dealing with his situation, especially as it relates to the queen of Saba. We'd have seen him different, dealing with her a different way. If he was like the people of today, the foolish people of today, those people who would have seen the people of today, if Suleiman, as a king, as a leader, he is working and he's dealing with another lady who is a queen and in charge of another country, the foolish people from amongst us would say, oh, what is Suleiman doing? How is he talking to that lady? Why is he mixing with that lady? What's going on with Suleiman and that lady? The Sheikh said, a lady was a king, a queen. She had a position of authority. And based upon that, Suleiman dealt with her in relationship to her position. He made the istiqbal of her. He greeted her, accepted her. And he had a good way of dealing with her. His mu'amala with her was a decent mu'amala. Now, no doubt, men and women mixing, the ikhtilat, is not permissible. We recognize that, we acknowledge that. But in this case, the lady is a queen. She's in charge of her country, she's in charge of her people. So therefore, ikhwani, we have to work with the people based upon what our condition is, the reality of our condition. He said a few years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, some of the Arab leaders, the men from the Arab states, they used to travel through the earth. And they would travel to the earth due to politics or other than that. And there were certain ladies who were in positions of authority, like here in this country, some lady may be in Denmark, she's a ruler, or wherever, those women are in positions of authority. The foolish ones from amongst the Muslims, back then, they used to say things like, it's not permissible for those Arab leaders to go and to meet that lady and to meet her and to do this. They were saying this is something that is not permissible. Sheikh said, look, Bilqis, she exposed her legs to Suleiman. So he asked, did she or didn't she expose her legs? Suleiman saw her legs. And he said, she exposed her legs. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, so when she was walking and she thought it was water, she lifted up her skirt, her dress, and her shins were exposed. So the Quran established that her legs were exposed. So Suleiman saw her legs. He said, so this is just the reality of the situation. She's a queen, she came to him, and this is the reality. So we have to work with the people based upon just the reality. And there's a new word that is going around right now, and that word is at-ta'amul mal-akhir, dealing with, working with the other person, the other side, the other person. You're not here by yourself. There are other people that you have to deal with. You can't make another person abide by your rules and regulations. You can't force him. The reality of your situation doesn't allow you to force that other person. Whether you like it or you don't like it, accept it or you don't accept it, that's reality. That person, he has an army. That person, he has weapons. That person, he has his position. You can't now come and just determine and dictate how things are going to go. You're a person, he's a person. You represent a side, he represents another side. So, Ikhwani, we have to work with the people based upon the taqaleed or the customs that we find the people are doing. He went on to say that we're not living by ourselves, so it is not, you're not living, we're not here by ourselves. So therefore, it's not acceptable for us to live in the world of imagination. Even the issue of hijra, making hijra. He said, where are you going to make hijra to? Where are you going to make hijra to? Wherever you go, you're not going to be by yourself. There are going to be other people in other situations there that poses challenges. So the one who wants to live in this world, maybe what he should do is just go up to a mountain, to the caves, and isolate himself in the caves. He doesn't bother him. He doesn't bother other people, and he doesn't let people bother him. Just stay somewhere in a cave by yourself. Other than that, the reality of the situation is that we have to deal with the people. He said, as it relates to the politics, the siyasa, he said, Ikhwani, if it wasn't for the siyasa and the politics, we wouldn't be able to live if these politics weren't in place. He said, for an example, this British army, the British army. He said that the British army's presence is going to help us. I want to ask you a question. This conference that we're doing right now, this gathering right now, in Al-Iraq, Muslim country, can they have this kind of conference right now in Al-Iraq? Can it take place right now in Al-Iraq? Sheikh said no, because there's no safety, there's no security. That's a Muslim country. But the presence of the British army here protects us, the safety and the security. It prevents us from having to deal with what they deal with. He said, over there right now in Al-Iraq, people are being killed because of their ID, because of their identification and who they are. If a person's name is Umar, his name is Umar. If he gets caught and they take him to the Shiite people and they judge his name, they find his name is Umar, he's killed. If his name is Ali, name is Ali. If the Sunni people catch him, they take him, they check his singbar, find his name Ali, the Sunni people kill him. He says, so now in Iraq, the situation is that the normal average person there is carrying two IDs. One ID for Shiite, one ID for the Sunni. When he gets caught, he brings out the relative ID to save his life. This is how it is, and this is the reality. He said, there's a joke that comes to my mind right now that is connected to this issue. And that was, if there were two men, they were drinking and they became intoxicated, they were drunk. There was a third man who walked by and he was an intelligent man. He had some sense about him and he wasn't drunk. So the two drunkards had an argument, and the argument that they had was that one of the drunk men was saying, this is the sun. The other drunk man was saying, no, this is the moon. And they were arguing, this is the sun, this is the moon. It was the sun, it was one of them, it was the sun. So when they found that third man walking, they said to him, hey, come here. We have this argument. We want you to be the judge between us. Tell us, what is this, sun or the moon? Now he knows. If he says it's the sun, the moon man is going to get upset and he hit him. If he says the moon, the sun man is going to get upset, he's going to hit him. The man says, I'm not from here. I don't know. So, Ikhwan, we are living in a place where the Muslims have security right now. There is security. We come together, we meet with security right now. I traveled here. I came with relative ease. I'm meeting you. I'm talking to you. I'm seeing you again. You're seeing me. This is the condition. So I just wanted to make this point that the British soldier, which is part of the politics, the siyasa, if it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to live. It helps us to live. So Sulaiman, Ikhwani, when he dealt with Bilqis, he dealt with her on the angle, and from the angle, she's a queen.
الموقف الثالث هو لنبينا الكريم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. وقد تعجبون عندما أقول لكم الآن هذا الموقف يلزمكم بشيء تستغربونه. لو أن شخصا ما تطارده الحكومة البريطانية وجاء يختبئ عندك، حكم الشرع فيك أنك لا تسمح له بذلك. هو مسلم، نعم هو مسلم، والحكومة البريطانية ليست مسلمة، نعم. يلزمك إما أن تسلمه للحكومة أو على الأقل تمتنع من إدخاله بيتك. كيف هذا الكلام؟ مسلم أسلمه لغير المسلمين؟ فعلها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، الذي هو أفضل الخلق عند الله، أفضل الناس، سيد الأولين والآخرين. بماذا؟ بعقد، عقد اتفاق يجب الوفاء به. في صلح الحديبية نبينا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه لا يملك القوة التي تمكنه من أن يفرض قراره. القوي دائما هو الذي يفرض. من الذي يقول اكتب كذا ولا تكتب كذا؟ القوي أم الضعيف؟
قوي.
من كان قويا في صلح الحديبية ومن كان ضعيفا؟ نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم كان في موقف الضعف، والكفار كانوا في موقف القوة، لذلك هم الذين فرضوا البنود. هو يقول وهم يقولون لا اكتب كذا، لا، وهم يمشون كلامهم. انه هو في موقف ضعف، ليس هو قويا في هذا الوقت، فيقولون له لا، اذا جاء مسلم من هنا اليك يلزمك ان ترده الينا، واذا جاء مسلم من عندك الى عندنا لا نرده اليك. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يوافق على هذا الكلام، بل وينفذه. ويأتي مسلم يرمي بنفسه بين ظهراني المسلمين، والصلح ما زال يكتب، فيقولون له هذا المسلم يعني لما ألقى بنفسه، يعني معناها يا رسول الله انقذني، أنا لا أريد أن أبقى هنا. فيقول خلوا لي هذا، يقولون له لا، هذا أول واحد يدخل في الاتفاق، ويسلمه لهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتمر الأيام ويأتي مسلم آخر إلى المدينة، والنبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم بنفسه هو الذي يسلمه لهؤلاء الكفار الذين جاءوا إلى المدينة ليقبضوا على هذا المسلم، وهو يسلمه لهم لأن الاتفاق ينص على ذلك، وهو وافق عليه ووقع عليه. فأنتم تعيشون في هذه البلاد، تعيشون بأوراق، منكم من يحمل الجنسية الإنجليزية، هذا هناك شروط عليك، أنت أقررتها ووقعت بأنك موافق على هذه الشروط، حتى وإن كنت ترى أن هذه الشروط فيها شيء من الإجحاف، فيها شيء من المبالغة، حتى ولو كان، لماذا وقعت؟ وقعت خلاص انتهى الأمر، تراه ضعفا تراه لا، ليلزمك الوفاء بهذا الاتفاق. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بعقود، إما أن تعيش في هذه البلاد وإما ألا تعيش، لكن تعيش وغشاش وغدار لا، تعيش وتخلف العهود والمواثيق لا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعهود ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها وقد جعلتم الله عليكم كفيلا. إذا أنتم الآن الله يبارك فيكم، الذي يحمل جنسية وقع، الذي عنده إقامة فقط وقع، مثل زائر جاء بتأشيرة وقع، كلنا أوراق. ماذا فعلنا عندما دخلنا هذه البلاد؟ وقعنا. إذن أقررنا بهذا الاتفاق ويجب الوفاء به، ولا يجوز لك نقضه، ومهما كنت ترى أن هذا لا ليس جيد، لماذا يفعل؟ إما أن تعيش هنا وإما أن لا تعيش. أما أن تعيش وفي نفس الوقت تنقض العهود والمواثيق لا، لا يجوز هذا في دين الله عز وجل. افعل ما أقوله لك الآن تدينا، ليس خوفا من أحد، لا، وليس خوفا من القانون، افعله تقربا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سلم المسلم للكفار فعله تدينا، فعله لله، ولذلك ربنا عز وجل أخلف عليه هذا خيرا، فتح عليه مكة. الوفاء والصدق يأتي بالفتح، الوفاء والصدق يأتي بالنصر، الوفاء والصدق يأتي بالخير للإسلام والمسلمين، والعكس بالعكس. عندما نرى الآن حكومات غير مسلمة تتصرف مع المسلمين، تصرفات فيها شيء من الشدة، شيء من العنف، شيء من القهر أحيانا. بلاد الديمقراطية الآن تقهر، هذا الكلام أنا أقوله أمس لإخواني في مصر رجال الأمن، أنا كان المفترض أن أحضر قبل أمس، قبل أمس ألغيت الطائرة بسبب مطار هيثرو، هنا كان فيه الضباب، تأخرت الطائرة إلى أمس، ذهبت رجعت إلى البيت لم أسافر، الموافقة الأمنية على سفري لم تأتي، حصل يعني بين الأمن شيء من الخلل في الاتصالات، أنا بلغت أني مسافر ولكن هذا الخبر لم يصل إلى الإدارة، ففوجئت أني ممنوع من السفر، وأنا ما عندي مشكلة مع الأمن أبدا. أنا واضح كما قلت هذه طريقة الأنبياء، نحن عليها، ما عندنا شيء نخاف منه ولا عندنا شيء نخفيه، كل شيء واضح. الذين يخافون عندهم أشياء يخافون منها، يتكلمون خلف الجدران، يتكلمون خلف البيبان، عندهم أشياء، عندهم خلايا سرية، عندهم تنظيم، عندهم أسلحة، عندهم تدريبات سرية، هل نحن عندنا شيء من ذلك؟ الذي عنده شيء من ذلك هو الذي يخاف. شاهد بعد ذلك اتصلت بالأمن، لماذا أنتم منعتموني من السفر؟ والله قالوا هذا بس فقط، لم يحصل أن حصل يعني الفرع بلغ الإدارة وإن شاء الله تسافر في الصباح، تعالى قابلنا، انتهى. قلت لهم برغم أنا الآن تعبت، ذهبت إلى المطار أول يوم ورجعت بسبب الضباب، ذهبت إلى المطار ثاني يوم ورجعت بسببكم، ومع ذلك أنا مبسوط من هذا الذي تفعلون، لأنه لمصلحتي ولمصلحة أولادي وأسرتي، أسرتي في البيت آمنة بسبب هذا الذي تفعلونه، وإن كان يشق علي لكنه لصالح بلدي ولصالح أنا، أننا نعيش في أمن وهدوء وسلام وطمأنينة، هذا الذي تفعلونه وإن كان يشق علينا أحيانا لكنه في النهاية لصالحنا. إذن أنتم نفس الشيء هنا، أحيانا تجدون الحكومات الغربية تتصرف مع المسلمين تصرفات فيها شيء من الشدة. عندنا مثل في مصر يقولون باللغة المصرية، يعني اللي بتلسع من الشوربة بينفخ في الزبادي، يعني واحد جي يأكل شوربة اللي هو الحساء يعني سوب، فيأتي بعد ذلك هنا يوغورت زبادي أيضا، هذا يوغورت، لكن هو خلاص الأول حار فظن أن الثاني أيضا حار، فيتعامل مع الكل على أنه حار، فنحن الزبادي الآن. نعم، يعني أنت أيها السلفي الصادق أنت الزبادي إن شاء الله، أنت رطب وبارد وما شاء الله طمأنينة وسلام، لكن يظن أنك حار مثل هذا وذاك الذين يفعلون هذه الأشياء. فنحن عندما نجد أن هذه الحكومات تتصرف معنا أحيانا تصرفات قاسية، ينبغي أن نلتمس لهم العذر ونقول نحن السبب، بعض المسلمين الحمقى هم السبب فيما يحصل لنا الآن. فموقف صلح الحديبية يجعلك تفهم ماذا ينبغي على المسلم الذي يعلم أن غير المسلمين هم الذين بيدهم السلطة، هم الذين بيدهم القوة، هم الذين بيدهم القرار، هم الذين بيدهم أن يفرضوا أو لا يفرضوا، يفعلوا أو لا يفعلوا. لابد أن تفهم هذا وأن تتعامل مع هذا كما تعامل النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وهذا ختام هذه المحاضرة.
الشيخ finished إخواني his lecture with some points. And he spoke first about Yusuf, the condition of Yusuf. And then he spoke about Suleiman. Suleiman was in charge. He had power and the condition of Suleiman and the relative power that he had. Now we come to our Rasul and our Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what I'm about to tell you right now, some of you may find it quite strange, weird, strange. But what I'm going to tell you is something that is an obligation upon you people right now. And that is, you have to take this position and this opinion that I'm about to tell you. It's an obligation upon you. If a person comes to you who's a Muslim and he comes to hide with you, and the government here is looking for that individual, they're searching for him, he's a wanted man, and he happens to be a Muslim, and he comes to your house, comes to you, you have to do one or two things. First, the sheikh said, you have to turn him in. You have to tell the people in charge that this man is here. You have to give him up. So you have one or two choices to do. Either when he comes to you to seek your home, your place of residence, that you hide him, he said, either tell him, no, you can't come here. Or if you allow him and he comes to you, you have to go and tell the security, hey, this man is here with me. The Shaykh said, this is what Rasulullah did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the circumstances. He said, we have an agreement, a contract, an aqd, an ittifaq, an agreement. Like Rasulullah had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah, the agreement of Al-Hudaybiyah. Rasulullah alayhi salam, he didn't have any quwa, any power, any might when he went to write and to agree on that contract. In reality, he said the person who has the power, the person who has the might, the strong one, he is the one who compels the weak to do what he wants him to do. And this is the thing that happened with Rasulullah. It was the kuffar who were telling him, you write this down and write that down and write this down. Because they had the power. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself wanted to write something on his own, they would say, no, you don't agree to that. Take that out. Take this out. And write this and write that. And that's because they had the position of power and he had the position of weakness. And this was the condition with Quraysh, and that was the condition with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi wasallam. So Quraysh told him. They told him. Now, we want this agreement to be put in here. And that is, if a Muslim comes from you and he comes to us, we don't have to return him back to you. But if a Muslim finds himself with us and he leaves us to go to you, you have to return him back to us. Write that down. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wrote it down. And the contract was barely finished. The agreement of the sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah was barely finished. When there was a Muslim who fell into this agreement where he came from the Muslims, he came from those kuffar, he came to the Muslims, he's right there in front of Rasulullah, in front of the kuffar, he threw himself, save me from these people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those kuffar, just let me have this one, let him come. It's against the agreement, but just let him be the one who comes. Kufar said, no, we're going to start the contract with him. Now the execution of the contract, what you agreed to with us, we're going to begin it with him right now. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed the Muslim over because that was the condition of the contract. And then some days went by after he returned to Al-Medina, and another incident transpired, and that was that another Muslim left from the Kufar and he went to Al-Medina. So the kuffar came looking for him. When the kuffar came all the way to Al-Medina, they said, we want that person. Here's the contract. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled his end of the bargain and he gave the Muslim back up because that was the aqd. That was the contract. That was the agreement. These people are kuffar, not Muslims. That was the brother. He was a Muslim. But it's about the contract and it's about the agreement. So, Ikhwani, you people right here, you're living right here in this country. Some of you, you have the British nationality. Some of you are living here legally with the Iqama. It is allowed for you to live here legally. Whatever the case is, British nationality, you have an Iqama, you have the immigration, the permission to live here. Everybody signed the contract. You agreed to the conditions that they gave. Some of you may say, oh, those conditions that I agreed to, and the conditions, there's some toughness in it, there's some mubalagha, they're going overboard, things I don't like about the conditions. The Sheikh said, irregardless of that, you signed the contract. You signed it, so therefore you have to live up to that bargain. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, oh, you who believe, live up and take care of your contracts. Live up and take care of your contracts. So, if you don't like what you signed, or you don't like the language or the agreements, then you either can live here after signing, or you have the option and the freedom to leave. As for being a person who signs a contract and you're cheating, and you're making ghadr, you're betraying them. You agree to something, and then you break your trust and you betray them. As for this, this is not acceptable. he started to read some ayat from them, or the ayat that he just mentioned, that is the statement of Allah, you believe, take care of your contract. Live up to your agreements that you make in the contract. He said again, some people are here because they are British citizens. Some people are here because they have the iqama and they've been allowed to stay from the angle of the immigration. Other people like myself, I came here as a visitor. This is just a visit for me. We all have signed and we all have agreed. So therefore, it's not permissible for us to betray what we signed in terms of the contract. And that is irrespective of what you think. What you think about the contract and what you think about what was said. You either live here or you exercise your freedom to go somewhere else. Now, in advising you to do that, to live up to your contract that everybody signed and agreed, stay and obey the contract and live up to the contract as the issue of your deen. Stay and live up to your contract as an issue of your deen. Getting close to Allah, obeying Allah. Not because you're scared of this one or you're scared of that, you're scared of the government, you're scared of the contract. No. But because you believe this is what Allah, this is what the religion is telling you to do. So you do it from that angle. Because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was upon, and this is what he did. And ikhwani, when the Muslims live up to their contract, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he lived up to his contract with the kuffar and he took care of what he agreed to and his agreement, he respected them. Allah ta'ala gave him the victory and they conquered Mecca. So whenever the Muslims take care and they make the wafa, they do their end of the contract and they live up to it. And the Muslims are truthful and the Muslims are honest and the Muslims are trustworthy. When they are like that, then the help of Allah comes. And then the khairat and the good that Allah wants for them, it comes. And the opposite holds true. When the Muslims are not taking care of the contract, and they are not trustworthy, and they're not truthful, and they're making ghadab, and they're breaking the contract, and they're people of betrayal, then the problems come, and the trials and the tribulations, they come. So we find now, ikhwani, these places like democracy, we find these people, democracy. Freedom, democracy. They're being a kind of tough now in the way that they're dealing with the situation. Sheikh said, look, personally, I was supposed to come here to this country already 2 days ago. First day when I went to the airport to come, I couldn't come because of the fog that was in Heathrow Airport. They didn't allow the planes to land, and didn't allow the planes to leave. So when the Sheikh went back to travel again, they said to him, okay, you can't go. We don't have anything written. We don't have any proof that it is allowed for you to go. So you can go. The Sheikh, he said, he was surprised to find that they had stopped him from going with this particular reason. This is their reason, because he knew that the paperwork had been done. He was invited. He did everything that he was supposed to do. It's just that there was some mix-up with the paperwork. According to them, a mix-up. So he was strange. He said he himself was tired. That was difficult upon him, what they were telling him, traveling back and forth. He has something, he wants to come, and is changing up his schedule. The Sheikh, he went on to say, we should not be afraid. I'm not telling anyone to be afraid of anybody. But the way of the Anbiya and the way of the prophets and the messengers is that they do things, the righteous people, they do things in obedience to Allah, to dayunin, you know, because this is what you're supposed to do, whether you like it or not. These people, they have the weapons. So the Sheikh, he went on to say that I have nothing to be afraid of. When I went to those people, I have nothing to fear about. He said, we're not afraid of anyone. This is the way of the Anbiya. But the one who is afraid, who is he? Who's the one who's afraid? He's the one who has something to hide. He's the one who is having secret meetings. He's the one who is saving weapons. He has weapons. He's the one who is threatening the security. He's the one who is behind the wall saying things and doing things that he shouldn't be doing. It's not our case. So what is there to hide? He went on to say, when I went back the next day to these people, I told them, okay, what's going on? They said, okay, we're waiting for this thing to come. The Sheikh said, to be honest with you, I told those people, the security forces there in his country, Even though the Sheikh felt that this was difficult on him personally, traveling, going home, coming back, he said, this is still in my best interest. It's in my best interest from a number of angles, what you are doing, he told those security forces. He said, it's in my best interest because of my family. I want to travel and not be worried about my family. What are they going to do to my family? There's a problem. It's in the best interest of my country and the safety and the security of the country that I live in. It's in the best interest of everybody involved, even though personally what I'm being made to go through is a bit difficult upon me, some to a certain extent. So he said the same thing here. The same thing here. And I want to share with you a method or something that the Egyptian people say, and he said in his language, something about some soup. From what I understood before I read what the brother helped me out with, is that the method is saying, from what I understood in their language, is that the person, when he wants to drink the soup, he doesn't know it's hot. So when he drinks the soup, he tastes it and it burns him. As a result of getting burnt from the first one, he thinks the rest of the soup is hot, it's going to keep burning him, so he discards the soup. هكذا here it is here it is here it is
لا 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 هو نفخ نفخ في اليوغورت اليوغورت ظن ايضا هو حار
okay we gotta learn Arabic Arabic
who burned from soup he will blow in the yogurt
نعم فكنت صارت علي خديث الزبادي شو الزبادي تعلق من soup. So, the example that he gave was, the one who drinks the soup and he gets burnt by the soup, he blows on the soup, he thinks it's hot. When he drinks the yogurt, something that's cool, he thinks just as the soup burnt him, that also the yogurt is also going to burn him. So just as he disregarded, he discarded, he will stop blowing. When the soup is hot, he gets burned, he starts blowing in the soup. So he thinks that when he drinks the or eats the yogurt, he also has to blow on that. So the point of that, Ikhwani, the point of that is that we're similar in that people don't have anything to hide. The Muslim, we're like the zabadi. We're like the yogurt. There's something that they blow on, and then we think also that as the man also blew on the zabadi, we're like that. The Sheikh said that the ignorant people, the foolish people, they are the reason that we have our problem. They do certain things and they do certain actions, and as a result of that, the way the people deal with us is a direct result of the way those brothers, the foolish people, the behavior that they had. So we're going to stop there because that was the hour, inshallah. And we have
Barakallahu feekum. Before we go, inshallah, I just want to ask the Sheikh just one question, if I may, and get a straightforward answer, inshallah. Tony Blair recently said that the Muslims must integrate or leave. What should we do?
Just that one. القضية التي حدثتك عنها بنسبة كلام الحاكم ينبغي للمسلمين في هذا البلد أن يندمجوا يندمجوا إلى حياة هؤلاء أو أن يتركوا هذا البلد ما قولك في هذا كيف نفهم هذا الكلام
كما قلت المحاضرة تعتبر جوابا على هذا السؤال بمعنى الاندماج كلمة واسعة فبالمعنى الذي ذكرته التزام القوانين وعدم الخروج عليها نعم أما أن يطلب من المسلم أن يتخلى عن دينه فلا المسلم لا يتخلى عن دينه هو مسلم ولكن هنا شيء هب أنهم فرضوا عليك أن تتخلى عن بعض أمور دينك في هذه الحالة أنت معذور عند الله سبحانه وتعالى والنجاشي رحمه الله تخلى عن كل شيء حتى قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية الرجل كان مسلما وقيل حتى كان لا يصلي لا يستطيع لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها ورضي الله عنه وأمر رسوله أن يصلي عليه لما مات. إذن هذا معذور عند الله وكان ملكا. واحد يقول ملك ومعذور، ملك ومستضعف، نعم لا يستطيع، فما بالك بكم أنتم؟ أنتم ملوك؟
لا
لستم ملوك، فالملك ما استطاع، فكيف بكم؟ فبارك الله فيكم. إذا منع المسلم في هذه البلاد، كما قلت نحن لم نكن محتاجين لهذه الصراحة التي طلبها أخونا عبد القادر، لكن هو لا بأس، جزاه الله خيرا، هو يريد الخير. ونحن تعلمنا في الدعوة السلفية أننا لا نذكر أشخاصا، لا حكام المسلمين ولا حكام غير المسلمين. يعني أنا قلت تولت امرأة في هذه البلاد، ما ذكرت، ما معروف أنتم تعرفون من المرأة التي تولت. لكن هكذا تعلمنا في الدعوة السلفية أننا لا نذكر أقواما بأسمائهم، اللهم إلا اضطررنا اضطرارا جازما بالغا أن نقول فلان هذا نحذر منه أو نحذر منه. وأما إن كان هذا الفلان من ولاة الأمور فلا، ولاة الأمور نناصحهم سرا سواء كانوا من المسلمين أو من غير المسلمين، وخصوصا إذا كنا نعيش في بلادهم، هذه بلادهم، نعم نحن مواطنون فيها ولكن هذه بلادهم. ماذا نفعل مع مثل رئيس الوزراء في هذه البلاد قال كلمات مفتوحة؟ هذه كلمة واسعة، يندمج بمعنى ماذا؟ يتركون الصلاة مثلا، هذا داخل تحت كلمة يندمج، يتركون الحجاب داخل. نحن نعذر الغرب يا إخوان، المسلمون جاهلون بدينهم فما بالكم بغير المسلمين. المسلمون جاهلون بدينهم. جلست بين بعض أقاربي فقلت لهم أنا في خطبة الجمعة عندي سلسلة في الخطب اسمها سلسلة الداء والدواء، فبدأت من الألف باء كما يقال، فمن ضمن الخطب الأولى تعليم الوضوء، فقلت الوضوء فرضه مرة مرة، وهذا كلام معروف عند أهل السنة في صحيح البخاري، البخاري رحمه الله يترجم باب الوضوء مرة مرة، ثم الذي يليه باب الوضوء مرتين مرتين، ثم الذي يليه باب الوضوء ثلاثا ثلاثا، والذي يليه باب الوضوء مرة ومرتين، أحيانا هكذا وهكذا، ممكن يغسل اليد مرة ويغسل الوجه مرتين، يعني في نفس الوضوء ينوع. فقلت الفرض في الوضوء، الفرض كم؟ مرة واحدة. إنسان غسل وجهه مرة واحدة ويديه كل يد مرة واحدة ومسح رأسه مرة واحدة، وهي مرة واحدة لا تزيد، حتى لو زاد في بقية الأعضاء لا يزيد في مسح الرأس، هي مرة واحدة، وغسل رجليه مرة واحدة، وضوءه صحيح. فقلت سبحان الله، هذه المعلومة عندي معلومة بدهية كطالب من طلاب العلم، بدهية معلومة سهلة، فوجئت أن معظم جمهور المسجد لا يعرف هذه المعلومة، الطهارة الوضوء. فأنا أحكي لأقاربي هذا الكلام، فإذا بهؤلاء الأقارب الذين أنا بينهم قالوا ونحن أول مرة نسمع هذا الكلام. قلت سبحان الله، المسلمون يجهلون الوضوء ونحن نطالب غير المسلمين أن يعرفوا دين الإسلام. يا إخوة الإسلام، نحن نعيش في عالم جاهل لا يعرف عن الإسلام شيئا. هؤلاء القوم معذورون، بارك الله فيكم، معذورون. هم يفترضون أن الحجاب رمز، لا يفهمون أنه فريضة من الله، يفترضون أن الحجاب مثل الصليب بالنسبة للمسيحي، ما يفهموش، لا يفهم، فهم أن المرأة المسلمة تلبس الحجاب لتقول أنا مسلمة، لتظهر أنها مسلمة، هو لا يفهم أنه فرض من الله، لا يعرف، فيظن أنه كما تلبس النصرانية الصليب لتظهر أنها نصرانية، المسلمة تلبس الحجاب لتظهر أنها مسلمة، فهم يخافون من التمييز العنصري في المجتمع، يتكلمون عن قضية مدنية محضة، أن المسلم يريد أن يدخل مكانا يظهر أنه مسلم، والنصراني يريد أن يدخل مكان يظهر أنه نصراني، فلا يفهمون الفرق، شبهوا الصليب بالحجاب، لا يفهمون أن المرأة المسلمة ملزمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى بلبس الحجاب، بل في كل الشرائع السماوية الحجاب موجود، الراهبات إلى يومنا هذا الراهبات يلبسن الحجاب ولا لا؟ الراهبة في الدير تلبس الحجاب ولا ما تلبس؟ حتى ولو كان للخلف مش مشكلة، لكن هي من دينها أنها تغطي شعرها، فالحجاب موجود في كل الشرائع السماوية. الشاهد بارك الله فيكم، هؤلاء القوم معذورون ولابد أن نلتمس لهم العذر. وكما قلت، ما دمنا نعيش في هذه البلاد وتحت سلطان أناس لا يدينون بدين الإسلام الذي نحن ندين به، لا، نحن نحترم إقامتنا ومعيشتنا بين ظهراني هؤلاء القوم ونكون من الصادقين والأوفياء. الإسلام دين محترم، دين الأدب ودين الصدق ودين الوفاء ودين الصراحة، دين الأدب والاحترام. الإسلام دين في غاية الاحترام، ذلك الدين القيم، ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلم.
Sheikh said in answering this question that was put forth just now, the lecture that I just gave is an answer to this question, and it's an explanation to what we understand, what is the meaning of assimilating or an indimaj. He said that this word, that the Muslims need to become like the people here, that was mentioned, the talk that was given and it was mentioned, and it was suggested and said that Muslims need to embrace the way of life here. He said this is a wide and expansive word that's open to a lot of interpretations. So, as I mentioned, in connection to us taking and living up to the laws of this country, he said, then we have to do that. That's what I was talking about. But if someone is requesting from a Muslim to leave aspects of his religion, then this is something that should not be done. The Sheikh said, now, let's just say for the sake of argument, you were requested to leave an aspect of your religion and they compelled you to leave that aspect of your religion. You did so. He said, you are excused, inshallah. You are ma'zur. Look at what happened with the Najashi. The Najashi, or the king of Abyssinia, he left every aspect of al-Islam, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah ta'ala, about the Najashi. He said that the Najashi was a Muslim, but he never prayed, nor did he do anything else about al-Islam. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with the Najashi. The Najashi was a king, a person who had position and power where he was, but he wasn't able to practice his religion for whatever reason. So what do you think is the condition of a person who doesn't have the power and the authority and the position of the Najashi? Then the Sheikh made a point. Juan made a point. He said that this question, the way it was put forth by the brother just now, we know that he wants good by putting this question forth. But something that I want to remind you brothers of from what we know and learned about As-Salafiyya, the way of As-Salafiyya, and that is we should do our best not to mention names, because the name of who, the one who said this was mentioned now in public. He said, from As-Salafiyya is not to mention names and issues like this, concerning especially the people in positions of authority, whether they are our leaders, the hukam of the Muslims, or the hukam of the non-Muslims. Sheikh said, when I was talking and I gave the example about the Arab leaders, the men who were traveling, and sometimes they had to come and they had to meet the women who were in positions of leadership, he said everyone knew who I was referring to when I gave that example of the woman who was in control here. She was a leader. But I don't have to mention her name, because this is from the way of As-Salafiyya, especially as it relates to people in positions of authority, Muslim authorities or non-Muslim authorities, except in a situation when we are really, really compelled. You just can't get away from it. You have to mention the name for one reason or another, and you have no choice. It's just something that has to be mentioned. He said, and even in this case, you have to be careful of what you say. He said that the people who are in positions of leadership, we advise them, whoever they happen to be, in secret, and between us and them, and not in open, not in the open, not publicly in front of the people. What do you think will be the case now when we are actually in their country and we're living amongst them? He says, and there's another thing, and that is, Khwani, the Muslims are living in the condition of severe ignorance about the religion of the religion, the affairs of the religion. The Muslims themselves don't know the religion that well. So what do you think is going to be the condition of these non-Muslims who make these statements that we hear? He said, in my country, I was visited recently by a group of my own relatives. And in my masjid, I'm giving a series of khutbahs. The name of and the title of the series of khutbah is The Sickness and the Medicine. The Sickness and the Medicine. So I've started from the alif, and I'm taking it point by point. Inshallah, I'm trying to explain different things to the community. So the beginning of the khutbah, the beginning of the series, was dealing with the issue of al-wudu. I was telling this story to my relatives who came to visit. He said, I started telling the Muslims in the masjid about this concept about al-wudu, that you can make wudu one time for each part of the body. One time you wash your hand, one time you wash your face, one time you wash it. And this is something that he considers to be from the basic, fundamental, elementary aspects of Islam. In Sahih al-Bukhari, in the chapter of purification, there is the bab that is called the chapter or the bab that wudu is one time. Then after that comes the next one. The chapter that wudu is two times. You wash your hands two times. Wash your face two times. The chapter that al-wudu is three times. Wash your hands three times. Wash your face three times and so forth. He said this just goes to show the permissibility that a person makes wudu. He can do it once, each part of the body. He can do two. He can do three times. He said to his family, when I spoke about this, I thought this was just elementary and basic. But I came to know that the vast majority of the people in the masjid, they didn't even know this was the truth about wudu. Something everyone is doing. They didn't even know. He said, when I told my relatives about this, my relative said to him, and this is the first time we've ever heard this as well. So the point that the Sheikh was making was that the Muslims themselves are ignorant about these aspects of Islam, like wudu, something everyone should be doing every day, well known. So what do you think is going to be the case with the people who don't know this religion? They're not even Muslim. So another example of that is the example of the hijab of the lady. Any of these people who are kuffar, they simply think that the hijab of the lady is just her way of trying to maintain her Islamic identity. She wants to make a statement to let the people know I'm a Muslim. So that's why she wears this. They think it's similar to a Christian who wears a cross. He wears a cross just to let you know, hey, I'm a Christian. They don't know that the hijab of the Muslim lady is something that is an obligation upon her. This is her way of identifying her religion and her belief. So the point of all of that he was trying to make was, in reality, these people don't know their religion. The Muslims don't know their religion. So a lot of what they say, a lot of what they do and what they say as a result of that, it comes as a result of lack of knowledge.